At the time, we thought, oh, Christ, weather balloon, that's good. Everybody accepted it as a weather balloon, said Smith. As a matter of fact, I guess it was a rumor they started about how dumb we were. The fact that it was released from here on the base, that there was a detachment that came over from Holloman Air Force Base and released the balloon here to pick up the winds going in the direction. Were you aware at the time of recovery effort itself? No, I was not. So there was no activity on the base which indicated that? Not that was known to the average people. Carry this one step further. It was never mentioned in the staff meeting, and I used to sit in all staff meetings. Was that unusual? Oh, someone would have heard it from someone. Apparently the thing was bottled up when they found out actually what it was. So as far as staff meetings go, there was no mention of the detachment of the detainment of Mac Brazel at the base, questioning him, Smith said. Oh, we heard there was. I think I heard it from some of the other news media about Walt Whitmore, that they had practically kidnapped him. Walt was an old-time newsman. You never could quite tell whether everything he said was truth all the time. So you didn't hear that Brazel had been held incommunicado on the base for a while, Randall said. Nope, not on the base. In town, yes. In Whitmore's home? Well, in town, I think the rumor was that Walt was moving him from place to place. This was it's a much more interesting story when you move a man from place to place. And the military's hot on his heels? Brazel was apparently kept in Roswell for 5 or 6 days, Randall said, with military authorities, but you're saying he wasn't kept on the base? To my knowledge, I did not know he had been on the base. Hout was quiet for a moment and said, I'm like my wife. I think there was one gigantic cover-up on the thing. I think that somewhere all this material is stashed away. The only thing I cannot comprehend is how, with all the people, and I start talking about people, I know that Jess Marcel did not go out to that airplane and fly it alone. He had to have a co-pilot and a crew. I don't think there was a one of those crew members who would have strained themselves to load this on an airplane. The truck drivers, the maintenance people, and when it gets to Fort Worth, there are more people involved, and at Wright Field, there are more people there. In all this time, no one has stolen a piece, said Hout. Jess Marcel, this I can understand. He was not the kind who would. But, Randall said, you think there was some kind of cover-up. I think there was a giant cover-up, said Walter Hout. I can't read all this to you. You have to go buy the book. I'll be here till Jesus comes sometime in the next decade, if he comes then. Oh, Jesse Marcel. He's the one that can tell us something. With everything in place, Smith and Randall left for Montana. When they arrived in Missoula, they met with Watkins. Watkins made it clear he'd spent years as a psychologist, author of 6 books, over 90 papers, and more than 100 articles on various aspects of his research. From Missoula, they drove to Jesse Marcel's home. While Watkins talked to Jesse Marcel, Smith and Randall interviewed his mother. They wanted to learn what her impressions were when Major Marcel brought home some of the material recovered on the crash site. She said that Jesse Sr. was excited about it. He thought it was something extraordinary, and of course she didn't know what it could be. They'd spread it out in the kitchen to examine it. Her description of it matched those given with the others who had handled it. The afternoon session with Jesse Marcel himself produced the best results. And that's where we will leave off for a while you get on telephone.